Good morning, everybody. Y'all stand with me, please. We don't always start with prayer, but I feel grateful today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that this morning I woke up and was able to draw breath into my lungs under my own power. I didn't need a machine to do that. I was able to get out of bed. I woke up in an air-conditioned home with clean running water. I had more clothes in the closet than I knew what to do with. Lord, I have a wife who is a good person, who is loyal and faithful and loves you. I have children that are healthy and mostly in their right minds and who have a heart for you. I have an amazing church family, a pastor that is visionary and growth-minded. I have friends in my life that sharpen me and make me better and make me laugh. Lord, I have a job to go to tomorrow. All of my needs and most of my wants are provided for. And I have you every day. You've never given up on me. You've never quit on me. You're just always there, willing to help me in the ways I need it most. Lord, I am so very blessed. And I just want you to hear a thank you from me today. Thank you for blessing me the way that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you feel the same way today? I mean, I know you've got mess going on. I know you've got mess. But do you feel the same way? Feel blessed? Amen. Amen. Well, look, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Next. It's great to see all of you here. We're honored that you would choose to spend your time with us this morning. Podcasters, welcome to you as well. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we appreciate you so much for listening in. And we hope that by the time you leave today, you will have been encouraged and inspired by what you've heard. But we also hope that you're challenged and motivated as well. For those of you that have been with us over the last several weeks, you know that we've been engaged in a somewhat lengthy run-up to the book, The Proving Ground by Kevin Gerald. And to get here, we've been talking about obstacles. Now, if you missed any of those lessons, they're all available on the church app, the Grace Church app, via the audio podcast. It's easily accessible, and I recommend the app if you don't have it. And I also recommend the obstacle series because the lessons in that series illuminate some of the reasons that we sometimes get stuck and hung up on a preliminary battle that isn't the real issue. And folks, Goliath never falls. Goliath never falls. If you get distracted by obstacles like the ordinary or the offense or the only, it's good stuff. Really good stuff. Check it out on the podcast if you missed it. Now, today, it's time to move on, and it's time to grow a little bit. Hope you came with that type of mindset today. We want God to start talking to us via this work by Kevin Gerald. Kevin Gerald, who is he? So we know him because we've been through Mind Monsters. He authored Mind Monsters. He's authored several books, at least nine books. He is the lead pastor of Champion Center Church in Tacoma, Washington, which is one of the largest non-denominational churches in the Pacific Northwest. Now, this book came to me via a friend of mine named Chad Ducote, who pastors in Houma, Louisiana. And I saw Chad this past spring whenever I was in Houma for something related to work, and we met for lunch, and then we went to the church, and he showed me around their campus. And after some of our conversations and me opening up to him about stuff that was going on in my life, Chad said, I've got a book you need to read. He said, I'm going to send it to you. And he recommended it. He sent it to me. And it really has been a total God thing. But I've told y'all last week, I have a complicated relationship with this book. It's one of those love-hate types of relationships. You might have a relationship like this, like going to the gym, right? You hate going, but you kind of know you need it. Or a personal trainer or maybe at some point in your life you had a very demanding coach or drill sergeant or a very wise mentor, people that that pushed you and challenged you to grow and develop in some areas. If you know what it's like to have a weakness exposed and someone to push you to grow and develop in that area, then you get it. Because this book, The Proving Ground, I liken it a lot to that challenging mentor or that personal trainer or that demanding coach who says, you know what, you're doing really great here, and you're killing it here, but you kind of suck here, and you need to do some work and develop, and that's this book. And so last week at the end of our lesson, I pointed you toward a free online self-assessment. How many of you did it? Just by show of hands. Wow, that's a good many of you. A lot of you did it already. If you haven't done it, you can go to kevingerald.com/books. Not now, but I do recommend that you do it at some point as we go through this series. Now, the plan for us is to introduce this book to you today, and then we're going to take each Sunday to cover one of the 9 tests that are discussed in the book. So about 10 weeks then, we'll hear from some guest speakers. We have some folks in the church that have graciously agreed to take on a chapter, so you won't be hearing from me every Sunday, and that's a good thing. Now, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's talk about the proving of our potential. All of us have taken a test at some point in our lives. In fact, as soon as we are born, the testing begins. Doctors evaluate our health to make sure that we are physically ready to leave the hospital and take on life. I'm going to say that again. Doctors test you before you ever leave the hospital to make sure that you are physically ready to take on life. And after that, we are regularly tested to prove what we're learning and how we are progressing as human beings. If we're healthy and if we're growing, if we're developing mentally, if we're developing emotionally the way we should, spelling tests, timed multiplication tests. Anybody remember those? They even do those anymore? I don't know. Okay. The ACT. The SAT, some type of proficiency test at work. You might have to pass some type of contractor's license or a safety and materials type of test at work. Whenever it comes time for us to drive, I hope you took a driving test at some point before they put a license in your hand. And, you know, we have throughout life, we have eye tests, we have hearing tests, we have personality tests, IQ tests, blood tests. There's just no way for us to get around testing because testing is a part of life. Amen. The same is true with the tests that we're going to be talking about in this book, because these tests aren't done in the classroom. They're not done in a doctor's office. They're not a part of a job application. In fact, watch this. These tests are never announced. They just happen. And what we want to do with this series is to raise your awareness, to raise our awareness, to help us recognize the tests that are continually and constantly taking place in your life. And we want to look at how these continual unannounced tests reveal your personal potential and prepare you for what God has next in your life. Now get this. Like it or not, God will require every one of us to prove our potential at one level before he promotes us to the next. Like it or not, God's going to require every one of us individually to prove our potential at one level before he promotes us to the next. I know it sounds cliche, But it's still true. There's a reason for every season. And often it's in the seasons that you feel stuck that God is trying to test you, not just for the sake of taking a test, but to promote you to the next level of development. And how you handle each test will determine your next God-given opportunities. If you're taking notes, you want to write that one down. How you handle each test is going to determine your next God-given opportunities. How do you know that for a fact? Because testing always precedes promotion. Testing always precedes promotion. Life shows us testing starts whenever you're a baby. Testing starts before you're even born. And it doesn't stop until you breathe your last breath. Think about it. Even today, more than likely, you are experiencing a test in one way or another. Everybody in here. And we're back. Okay, little battery snafu on the microphone there, podcasters, but now we're back. Think about it. You might be working for someone that you have a really hard time taking directions from. You might be working with someone. Oh, I just got on somebody right there. You might be working with someone that the reason why you work with them is because nobody else in the office will agree to work with that person. There might be something that you want in your life, like a relationship or a promotion, something that you want to happen in a certain time. Maybe you feel like you're just going around in circles, facing the same situations over and over and over again. And while maybe your setting changes, you never really move forward. So what we want to do with this series, and this is key, we want to do what we can to help us all to recognize the test for what it is, learn from it, and then grow to the next level. We want to recognize the test for what it is, learn from it, and then grow to the next level. Let's talk about recognizing the test. Have y'all ever been driving down the road? And this used to happen a lot more than it does now because now we have different technologies. I can remember it happening on like the early days of television, but every once in a while you'll still hear it on the radio in some places. You ever been driving down the road and this thing comes on and it says, "This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test." And then there is this squawking, squealing, terrible noise that comes out of that, right? It's so unmistakable. You know exactly what it is. Just comes blaring out. Now we have like the emergency alert system. They don't call it the emergency broadcast system anymore. It's the emergency alert system, right? Donald Trump will send a text to your phone to let you know, you know, and it goes out over TV and over radio all at the same time. Wouldn't it be helpful if the trials in our lives were accompanied by a similar type of message? Wouldn't that be helpful? This is a test of the heavenly development system. Heavenly authorities working in cooperation with local idiots in your area are conducting a test of your potential. This is only a test. Wouldn't that be great? Be so helpful. I don't know about y'all, but I always did better on the test whenever I knew it was coming. Might have been a little bit of a lie because I didn't always study. Sometimes I did better on the test whenever I knew it was coming. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I would at least pay more attention in class the day before if I knew that there was a test coming. Wouldn't it be so awesome if Jesus would just tell us, "Hey, just want to let you know you're about to be tested. And if you pass this one, you get promoted, so, you know, don't blow it. Pay attention." But the challenge of life's most important test is that they are by and large unannounced. overwhelmingly unannounced and catch us off guard. And we don't realize it, Court, until later, because hindsight is so good. And we look back and we're like, I think that was a test, and I pretty much blew that one. Even if we're on high alert, if we're diligent, looking for the test, the test will come in a disguise so that you don't recognize it for what it is. And if you don't recognize the test, then you might not pass the test, and you've got to pass the test to get past the test. Meaning you continue to face that test until you pass it. Because Jesus is, he's the good teacher, Rachel. He lets you keep taking the test until you can demonstrate mastery. This single fact, the fact that tests in life are rarely announced, is the biggest reason we wind up having to repeat a grade and getting, we're held back, right? There will rarely be an announcement. You know why? Because the unannounced test tells the true tale of progress. That is pretty good. The unannounced test tells the true tale of progress. That's why teachers use this terrible thing called the pop quiz. I used to hate pop quizzes. Even as a teacher in the classroom for 12 years, I didn't like giving pop quizzes because I hated them so much as a kid. You know why? You know why I hated them? Because they held me accountable for experiences from the days before that I hadn't really been engaged in the way that I should have been. Ooh. The best thing in the world, the best thing in the world. Ninth grade year, my friend Chris, he had algebra third period, and I had algebra fifth period. And we had the same teacher. So I'd see Chris in the hallway. He'd be like, bruh. Algebra test, algebra quiz. She hit us with a pop quiz today. And that was the best thing in the world. Number one, it was great because we weren't in the same class, so we couldn't do stupid stuff together and get in trouble. But he'd tell me, you know, hey, there's a quiz. And fourth period, you know what I'm doing? I'm not paying attention to world geography. I'm like, hey, do you have notes from algebra yesterday? Because I didn't take any. Yeah, okay, oh, this is what we went over. All right, took the quiz, made a D. D stands for diploma. Yeah, here we go, baby. We're set. We're on a roll. Look, your tests in life, like y'all are learning so much about me. It blew people's minds whenever I became an educator, I'm just saying. But your tests in life won't be that way. Chris G is not going to come rolling up down the hall and say, hey, just want to clue you in, Jesus is about to hit you with one today. There's one coming next week. You better really pay attention and get engaged in church today because there's a test coming next week. It's not going to happen. There's no advance warning because before he promotes you up, God wants to know, were you paying attention? Did you engage those experiences the way that you really should have? Do you have that skill mastered? Can you demonstrate some level of proficiency with this skill of dealing with people, dealing with a bad boss, dealing with the coworker that nobody likes, dealing with your spouse with a certain amount of patience, dealing with your kids with a certain amount of patience, dealing with media in a way that's wise? Can you demonstrate a certain amount of proficiency with this skill? Because if you don't, if you don't have this mastered and I promote you, the next level is going to crush you. Tests in life won't come with an announcement. And it's not God being cruel. It's not God being sadistic. It's about him having our best interests in mind. And having in mind the best interest of the people around us that are in our circles of influence. Why would God want to promote you to a place and give you more influence and more ability to speak into lives of the people around you if what you're going to do is damaging to you or damaging to them. That's not being a good father. So can you pass the test? Great. I'm ready to move you forward. But if you can't pass the test, let's not do any damage. Is that making sense? Oh, I think it's making too much. Look, think about it this way. Think about proving your personal potential. Whenever you get ready to buy a car, who's bought a car? Not necessarily new, but who's bought a car in the last 5 years? How many, okay, hold your hands up, let's see. How many of you test drove it first? Typically, whenever we buy a car, especially if it's a model that, now, if I'm buying a Camry for the third time, I probably don't need to test drive it. But if it's a model that I haven't driven before or owned before, I'm going to test drive it. Why? You want to make sure the seats fit your backside the right way, that it's comfortable to ride in. You want to make sure that you can see out of the windshield whenever you're at the stoplight. You want to make sure that the controls are intuitive and you can understand them and work them. That's why people stay with the same make and model of vehicle over and over and over again, because they know it. It fits their body. It fits their family. It fits their lifestyle. It fits their sense of style. Watch this, because they've proved it. It's not just the cars that we buy either. The food we eat, it gets tested. Thank you, Jesus. The refrigerator in your home, it's got a little sticker on it somewhere, United Laboratories, that says this appliance meets certain criteria that make it safe and reliable. Even airplanes, they spend millions, billions of dollars developing a new airplane. But it goes, however much money they spend on the development, it goes through a testing process before you can ever get on them. Something that you should be thankful for whenever you're at 30,000 feet. I'm glad they tested this thing before I got on it. See, the purpose of testing is to prove the product. If you're taking notes, you need to write that one down. The purpose of testing is to prove the product. The milk we drink, the cars we drive, the airplanes we fly in, just about every product we use gets tested to prove their safety and reliability before they are ever released into our hands. The product has to withstand testing. And typically, watch this, that product withstands testing in a smaller, more controlled environment first, way before it ever gets into a position where other people are going to depend on it. In the same way, people go through tests. In the same way, you're tested. In the same way, I'm tested. We go through tests that determine who we are, what we're made of, what kind of character we have, what's our level of personal integrity, what we can endure, how dependable are you, how reliable are you, where are your weaknesses, what causes you to lose it, what gets you triggered and makes you salty, where are those things? It's a testing of your personal potential, and it's only proven through the testing process. It can't be proven any other way. I can tell myself all day long that I can do something, but thinking it and saying it is very different from doing it. BT, I can tell myself I can ride that dirt bike, but until I get on it and encounter a few unforeseen obstacles in the yard, get Brian to tell you the story. He tells it a lot better than I do. I've still got some wounded pride. I've got to test my ability. Our personal potential, guys, is unknown until it's proven. I said unknown. Your personal potential is unknown until it's proven. Every one of us have abilities, skills, tendencies, and opportunities inside of us that can be opened up, and God uses testing to do it. And usually, it's one of nine common tests that God uses to open up those abilities and skills and talents and opportunities. So let me give you an overview of where we're headed over the next several weeks. There are nine now there are other tests, but these are the more common. And this is, we're going to take a week to look at each one of these. The test of small things. This test comes to prove your potential for bigger opportunities by seeing how well you handle smaller ones. Then there's the motivation test. You could be doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. So this test, it challenges the why behind what you're doing. The credibility test. This test will prove that you maintain integrity, refusing to compromise your ethics and your morals in pressured circumstances. Then there's the wilderness test. When you're in a drought, whenever you're in a dry season, whenever you know, the old timers used to say, I can still hear Brother Young say it, whenever you pray and the heavens are just made of brass. Sometimes we go through those seasons and we don't feel that connection. This is a test that will prove your potential to make the changes necessary to enter the next level of maturity and prosperity for your life. Oh, then there's the authority test. This test comes to prove your attitude towards the authority that God has put in your life. The warfare test. When you are in the will of God, you are in the will of God, but you're still experiencing problems and resistance. This test will prove how you respond to adversity. We've heard a little bit about this one lately, but the offense test. This test will prove whether or not you are easily offended. What is your level of offendability? And if you have the potential to readily forgive others. Then there's the test of time. If things don't happen in the timing in which you planned, this test comes to prove your endurance and your patience and your ongoing confidence in the various seasons of life. And then the last one that we'll look at is the lordship test. This test will put you in a situation where it's not easy to obey God. It is designed to prove that you will obey God's word and God's will, even when it's not the easy thing to do. So that's where we're headed over the next several weeks. And I want you to know, I want you to know what's coming. I'm trying to be a good teacher. But one more point before we wrap up today. All of this talk about testing, talk about the difference between temptation and testing. This could really be a separate lesson. But I want to touch on it. All this talk about testing, you got to be careful because you'll start to picture God as just sitting back in his recliner throne, dreaming up all of these different schemes, watching you, watching me, and saying, oh, bet you're not going to make it past this one, Coop. You're going to have a hard time with that one. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see this one coming. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Because God is not some type of cosmic gotcha God. You got to frame this testing thing the right way. He doesn't get some kind of sick high out of watching us be stretched or pushed or tried or tested. That's the wrong concept of God. The Bible never describes him that way. That's not why we have tests in life. Because God's trying to get you. As a matter of fact, here's what the Bible says in response to those types of thoughts. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 says this. When tempted, talking about the difference between temptation and testing. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Look, this is what temptation is. Where's temptation comes from? Most of us, we do a pretty good job of it our own selves. That's what James is saying here. You do a pretty good job of getting yourself in sin all by yourself. But then he says, don't be deceived. Watch this. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So this is what it says. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone with evil. There's a difference between temptation and testing. When you learn something in school, the test comes so that you can prove what you've learned, and it's a valuable experience for you. A temptation, on the other hand, is not primarily intended for your good. It's not intended for your development. It's intended for your destruction. It's not for you to prove what you have learned, but it's a device to entice you to sin. So let me say this again. Your Jesus, who loves you enough to wrap himself in flesh and come to this earth and die for you, is not capable of originating and strategizing and instigating any type of evil to tempt you to sin. God doesn't do that. If he did, none of us would have any hope. If God was the type of God saying, let me see if I can get him to sin, we'd be in trouble. All temptation comes from the enemy or from your own stinking flesh. Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew 4. Job was tempted to curse God and die. Did those things come from God? No. Did God allow them? Obviously. So think of it this way. Kaylin, my oldest, the oldest of the three things. She's thing number one. Kaylin is a sweetheart, but she is not the best driver. Mm-mm. She doesn't want to drive. She doesn't like to drive. She doesn't want to drive. She drives because she has to. All right? But for her to be a capable adult in our society, she's got to drive. She needs to learn to do some things on her own. Now, do I, as her father, can see the parallel here, as her father, do I deliberately wait until there's a hurricane and then tell her, I want you to drive to LSU in the dark, get there, come back, and before you leave, I'm going to disable your windshield wipers and your headlights? That would be cruel and unreasonable. But even though I know KK is not the best driver, I still let her leave the house whenever it's raining, because I know she's got to learn to navigate some things on her own if she's going to be successful for what's coming later in life. I am teaching so good right now. So look, I made sure she went to driver's ed. We paid for the classes. We got her to driver's ed. We drove together a few times. I'm still here. Somebody that lives in Amy, that big sugar kettle thing in their front yard, it almost got took out. But we're still here. Julia, I mean, we practiced parking. Julia drove with her to LSU a few times. They drove around campus. We made sure she knows how to operate the car. We made sure there's enough insurance in case something happens. But at some point, now listen to me, I know this is funny, but at some point, we do what's necessary and allow her to experience reality on her own with our support, so she can learn and grow into who she has the potential to be. That's the difference between temptation and testing. I hope y'all get it. Will you sometimes be tested? Yep. Will you sometimes be tempted? Yep. Can temptation be a test? Oh, yeah. Are they the same? No, they are not. Y'all remember the burning bush, the book of Exodus, Moses? Y'all remember that? Moses looked at a burning bush that was ablaze with fire, but yet it wasn't consumed. That was the thing that caught his attention about it, right? He's like, I must turn aside and see this thing. This bush is burning, but it's not. It wasn't the fact that it was a bush that was burning. It was the fact that it was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. That's what caught his attention. God was using that bush. You know what condition that bush was in whenever God was through using it? It wasn't burned up. It wasn't scorched. It wasn't destroyed. Whenever God was finished using that bush, it went right back to being whatever it was before. That's what God wants to be able to do with us. That's what he wants to be able to do with you. That's what he wants to be able to do with me. He doesn't want to use you at the risk of losing you. He doesn't want to use you at the risk of damaging you. He wants to use you without destroying you. He wants to know that when he uses you, you're going to be able to take it. And he wants to know that you can endure the heat of the situation and still come out the other side healthy. He wants to make sure, this is cute, he wants to make sure that you're user-friendly. That's what the proving ground is all about. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. Really, James? James is saying that something positive is happening in us during our time of testing. Just as a product is never used until it is tested and proven, a person is never used until they are tested and proven. In the test that you go through, your capabilities and potential will be proven. What you can handle, what positions you're suited for in life, these will be proven in tests along the way. And hopefully, by what you gain through this series, you can take the information and the tools that you're given each week and use them to help you recognize and pass the tests of life and prove your personal God-given potential. Two more things and we're done. I was listening to Kevin Gerald in a presentation he did about this. He talked about they live in the Pacific Northwest. It's bear country. And he actually watched a video of these companies that are trying to design a bear-proof garbage can. And so they set up, there's a need for that there. And so they set up video cameras with all of these different types of garbage cans and just set them out there with stuff in them and let the bears do what bears do. The bears knocked them over. They kicked them around. They stomped on them. They sat on them. But none of them were labeled bear-proof until they had been product tested. But once they passed the test, then that enabled a new name to be placed on them, because now it's not just a product in development. Now it's not just a potential product. Now it is a proven product. Why? Because it was tested. So I thought that was great. But here's one more, and I want to give you this one before we leave. In John chapter 6, this is like the feeding of the multitude, right? And Jesus looks at the multitude, and the Passover's coming, and he asks the disciples, he's like, you guys see all these people? I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of people. He's like, Philip. I was like, what? Me? Call me out. What are we going to do to feed all these people, Philip? And Philip's like, oh. What does he say? He says, a half a year's wage wouldn't be bread enough for each one of these people to even have a bite. But look what it says back in the previous verse. It says that Jesus, in verse 6, it says, he asked this only to, what does it say? To test him. And then watch this. It says, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. In the King James, it literally says, this he asked to prove him. Jesus is like, all right, Philip, what you going to do with this one? Let's just say, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's going to look like a problem. Oh, yes. Listen to me. It's going to look like a problem, but I've already got in mind what I'm doing. I just want to ask you a question, and then I just want to watch and see how you handle this one. Thankfully, Andrew was there to step up and say, hey, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but we got this fish, we got these pieces of bread, and Jesus was able to take it and use it. But this interaction between Jesus and Philip, it's all about proving. I just want to see what's on the inside whenever I present you with this problem. It's the proving ground. This he asked to prove him. If you haven't taken the self-assessment yet, kevingerald.com/books, do it. You need to do it. I already heard from several people. They're like, took the test. Yep, nailed it. That's me. Unless you're like me, and then you've got like five different tests that you're going through right now. But take the test and get ready, because we're going to launch next week. We'll start talking about the test of small things. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Bye.